Felix's spacecraft, surrounded by a soft stealth shield glow, floated high above the planet of Pondifier. Felix sat at his control panel, Pondifier filling the screen in front of him. On a smaller panel was an image of General Lansing.
No, General, it's definitely Krayl occupied. Pondifier was a mining planet with a military garrison commanded by a Colonel Mallory. It was listed as completely destroyed.
You're positive the Ion Trail leads there?
Yes, sir. I'm more convinced that this is a prison planet.
For what purpose? That makes no sense for the Krayl.
I could attempt surface contact.
No. Don't risk it. I'm deploying a unit to your area.
Felix frowned.
Sir, that would require informing the President about...
Not a full fleet. Only a reconnaissance in force, Felix. A large reconnaissance in force.
Near the downed Malta vessel, Deacon and Joe carried the fuel cell into the tree line.
You're a paid assassin?
A damn good one. I get hired, I kill, I get paid. I came to Pondifier tracking this other lowlife. Suddenly, the place goes ballistic and Krayl start landing all over. So I'm stuck here without a target, without a paycheck. But, lo and behold, you show up. And you were number one on the list.
Why did you kill Horvac?
Horvac?
When we first got here, the Crapecker ends up dead. The Krayl didn't do it. The prisoners couldn't do it. So why?
I didn't say I was the only assassin trapped on Pondifier.
Horvac was an assassin?
Yep. Came here for the same reason as me. He decided to turn collaborator to survive. It was a matter of time before he realized you were on the list, and snap, you'd be dead.
But you knew. So why didn't you kill me?
I thought about it. Almost did. Still might. But you're not what I expected. Besides, this damn war has changed all the rules.
Who put me on the list?
I never ask. Considering the huge bounty on your head, I'd guess Bulwark.
The Weapons Corporation?
Sucks to be you. Your turn. Just who the hell are you?
Joe stopped and set the fuel cell down. Deacon turned to look at him.
I'm the guy who's gonna help you get off this planet. Someone's gotta tell Earth Command what these creeps are doing here. And you've got a ship.
Hold on, cowboy. I have a bad relationship with command structures. Do it yourself.
Earth has to know the Krayl are fighting two wars. That can turn this whole thing around.
Are you serious? Newsflash, this war is lost. Haven't you been keeping up?
It's not lost yet. I don't think the Krayl believe they've won. Think about it. Why does Stalag X exist?
I don't care why it exists. I just want to get off this planet.
They have to know about those Maltas, the experiments, and that thing in the Ripper world. I think the Krayl are counting on it to destroy humanity and win this war. I don't know if you love anyone, or if you have family, but they're going to kill us all. You want to get off this planet? There won't be any place to go to.
Deacon didn't look at Joe. Her head was tilted down, staring at the ground.
You're one hell of a motivator. Damn you.
The weary work party under Krayl guard returned through the gates of Stalag X, Mallory at the lead. The Maltas in their fenced-in area stood still, observing.
Soldiers, line up to get your rations. Move quickly.
The soldiers moved off as Joe approached Mallory.
Colonel, if I might have a word with you.
Make it fast.
In private. It concerns something I saw out there.
Very well.
They moved to a side corner near one of the barracks, out of sight and earshot of the rest of the men.
Well, what is it, man? And please, no more talk about your paranoid theories.
Nope. No talk at all.
Meaning?
Deacon appeared behind Mallory and pulled a cloth bag over his head. Swiftly, Joe punched Mallory. Mallory collapsed and Deacon held him under his arms.
Meaning the time for talk is over.
Nice.
What?
Mallory awoke to find himself sitting in a sunny valley, lush with grass, and a stream flowing nearby. He was all alone.
What? What is this? Where am I?
Suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, a little girl was standing nearby, holding a rag doll.
Hi, mister.
Who are you? Where am I?
I was sent to get you. Come on.
Debbie skipped off toward the distant rocks. Mallory started to follow, waving.
Wait. Little girl, wait!
Hurry up before it changes!
Debbie was standing near a door set into the rocks. A sign on the door read, Danger.
I'm not allowed to go in, but he told me you need to see something.
Joe Human?
That's him. Mr. Joe. He's waiting for you.
Hesitantly, Mallory opened the door and walked through. It was dark inside.
Joe? What's all this about?
The door slammed shut behind him.
What the?
Mallory looked around in the darkness, and his eyes widened in fear.
Dear Lord.
In front of him were dozens of zombie-like humans. They stared at him with dead eyes, arms and hands reaching toward him. In the middle of them was the obscene mass of the Dark Ripper, pulsing.
Not pretty, is it?
Joe was leaning against the wall off to the side. Mallory looked at him.
What is this? Who are these people? What is that thing?
In order, this is the Ripper's world. Those people are what remain of Mengele's experiments. And that thing is the Krayl's final solution for humanity.
In Mengele's lab, Mallory and Joe were strapped down, rippers on their faces. Linda stood over them, a look of concern on her face. Deacon was near the window, looking cautiously out.
They better hurry up. The Commandant and Mengele aren't going to stay out there much longer.
Joe said to give him 15 minutes, then pull the rippers off. We still have 10 to go. Trust me, I know Mengele's habits. We're okay for the moment.
Guess I was wrong about you. I just thought you were Mengele's...
Poor?
For lack of a better word. I didn't know about your kid. Sorry about that.
I give Mengele what he wants, to keep her alive. I let him merge with my mind, with my emotions. He craves it. He finds every room in my heart, every tear I've shed, every joy I've known, and he grabs onto them. He rapes my soul. But I have some secrets he can't touch. Like hatred. That's all mine.
Back in the Ripper world, Mallory was looking over the Dark Ripper.
It controls these people?
It takes away their ability to control themselves. It uses fear and anger. They can't make decisions. They're followers, not leaders.
All humans are leaders if they have to be.
And that's the difference between us and the Krayl. The Krayl have a very rigid social system, right? Mengele was born a scientist. The Commandant was born a leader. Their common soldiers were born to follow. They can't lead. But what happens if you kill a human commander?
Another soldier takes over.
What if they couldn't?
Discipline would break down. The entire unit would be destroyed.
That's what this thing does. All these experiments trying to figure us out, to create this thing and infect us. You were right. The creeps are going to do a prisoner exchange with infected prisoners. Once they come in contact with our leaders, our generals...
My God. The Krayl would win in a day. But why haven't they done it? Like these people.
Because this is the Ripper world. These people died here. That's why they're stuck here. They need survivors to come out of the Ripper world. Contagious survivors.
How do you know all this?
I survived the experiments, but I'm not contagious. And I can feel that thing in my mind. And I think it can feel me.
Mallory lunged at the Dark Ripper.
We have to destroy it.
No, this isn't real.
The Ripper dead reacted instantly, reaching toward them.
What's happening?
It's defending itself.
In the laboratory, Deacon was at the window.
Mengele is heading this way. We have to pull them out.
No, we still have a minute left.
Get them out now.
Back in the Dark Ripper world, Mallory and Joe were trying to fight their way out. Ripper dead reached for them, clawing at them. Joe punched one in the face as Mallory tried to pull another from gripping his throat. Others crowded around, the Dark Ripper behind them, pulsating. The door to the room opened up, and Debbie stood silhouetted in its frame.
Mr. Joe! Here!
What?
Come on!
Too many Ripper dead surrounded them. Mallory was overwhelmed. Joe was still fighting, but they were grabbing him all over.
Hurry!
Mallory and Joe began to glow as the Ripper dead piled over them. And the next thing they knew, they were awake in Mengele's lab. Joe sat up, groggy, his hand to his head as he watched Linda pull the Ripper off Mallory's face. Deacon was near the window.
Move it! Mengele's on his way.
I'm not... Where?
No time to be nice.
Deacon grabbed Joe and threw him out an open window. Linda held Mallory toward Deacon. A mere moment after Deacon and Mallory followed Joe out of the window, Mengele and the Commandant entered the lab. The room was empty except for Linda, who was placing a vial on a shelf.
You're back early, Doctor. I'm almost done cleaning.
Out in the courtyard, Joe, Mallory, and Deacon hid next to the ship near the Malta fence.
I was wrong. So wrong. Something has to be done before that thing destroys humanity.
Did you get your ship refueled?
What are you talking about?
I can get my ship off the ground, but someone has to take out those missile batteries.
Leave that to me. Mallory, you think we have enough pissed off prisoners to create a distraction?
Wait a minute. I'm not putting our soldiers at risk.
To save humanity? You said it yourself, Mallory. Sometimes you make choices and do the best you can.
Damn you. Very well. I'm in. But if anyone flies that ship, it has to be me.
Dream on. My ship.
You think Earth Command is gonna believe an assassin? Or that we can even trust her to deliver the message?
I trust her. She's the only one who has a chance.
Who put you in command?
I did. Unless you want to argue through a slit throat.
Hard to challenge that logic.
Good. We'll wait until after curfew is called. Be ready.
How will I know when?
You'll know. I'm not planning on being subtle. You have an extra knife on you?
Holding Deacon's knife, Joe turned to leave when he saw the Malta commander watching him from behind the fence.
Stay toasty. You're a part of this too.
All prisoners to barracks. Lockdown curfew in 15 minutes.
The prisoners began to crowd toward the barracks, and Joe blended in. He saw Gurno and approached her.
Gurno, I need to talk to you.
Yeah?
When was the last time you worked on the missile batteries?
About 3 days ago. Why?
Colonel Mallory thinks they're about due for a checkup.
Inside the barracks, Mallory was talking to the soldiers.
I don't understand, Colonel. What's going on?
Grab anything you can use as a weapon.
What for?
For something we should have done long ago. We're gonna kill those Krail bastards and take back our camp!
Back in Mengele's lab, Linda and Mengele were alone, and he reached for her.
We have some time, Vindata. I would wish a communion.
I need to talk to you about my daughter.
Yes, talk. But later. Not now. I need you.
Yes.
Deacon was inside her ship, in the cockpit, checking gauges and dials.
There's a hypertunnel just past the system rim. I can contact Earth Command from there. What the hell are you doing, Deacon? This isn't your war. Just get out of here. Great, now I'm arguing with myself. Joe better come through. Who the hell is this guy? And when did he start caring? Too bad he's not gonna live long enough to tell me.
Joe and Gurno secretly climbed the steps up to the battlement, just out of view of the two Krail guards standing with the missile batteries and a dual machine gun.
Lockdown commencing. All prisoners must be secured in barracks or risk discipline.
I'll need 3 or 4 minutes to deactivate the missiles.
I'll give you as much time as I can, but it's going to be a cluster once it starts.
In the courtyard, Deacon hid up against the outside of her ship. In the barracks, Mallory stood near the door, waiting, holding a makeshift club made from a table leg. Behind him, all waiting, were the POWs, faces determined, focused, angry, all holding similar clubs and sharp objects. In Mengele's lab, Mengele had attached his clingers to Linda. She was limp in his arms as he fed on her emotions. The Commandant was in his office, sitting and staring at the chess set, pondering this human game. Kursk stood nearby at attention. And in the Ripper world, Debbie sat on the bed in her playroom, clutching her ragdoll. Qualmy stared up at her, concerned.
Something's about to happen, Qualmy. I think it knows.
Gurno approached the two Krail missile battery guards.
The Commandant sent me to... I have to check that one there.
Gurno pointed to the control panel as the two Krail stood behind her and looked. Behind them, Joe snuck up with a knife in hand.
It's this thing here.
Joe leaped into action. He grabbed the head of the first guard and pulled it back, slicing through its neck with the knife, sending blood spurting. The second guard was surprised momentarily as Gurno punched him. The guard reacted by grabbing Gurnu by the throat, lifting her in the air. Gurnu choked, grabbing at the Krail's wrists. Joe rushed forward and rammed the knife home under the Krail's arm, into its ribs. He released Gurnu and fell to his knees. Joe then used both hands to jam the knife up through the Krail's jaw into its brain. Having dispatched the guards, Joe jumped up behind the machine gun, gripping the handles. Gurnu was still kneeling, holding her throat.
Gurnu, get to work. Disable those missiles.
Right. To work.
Joe looked through the sights of the machine gun.
Time to get the party started. Who wants to live forever?
Joe opened up with the machine gun, the barrels blazing away as he held on. Behind him, Gurnu opened the missile battery and got to work.
Whoa, that's got a hell of a kick.
Down in the courtyard, the Krail were being mowed down by the blasts. Dirt and blood was flying everywhere. In the barracks, the POWs were shocked. Mallory pushed open the door and turned to face his soldiers.
What the hell is going on out there?
Move out! Now!
In a mad rush, the POWs ran out of the barracks and attacked the Krail.
Come on! Damn creeps!
The courtyard quickly devolved into hand-to-hand combat. Behind the Krail and humans fighting, the Maltas watched from behind their gate. Joe turned the gun toward some Krail soldiers who were charging up the battlements toward him. They flew backward and fell as the slugs slammed into them. Gurnu was still working on the missile battery.
Hurry up back there!
Don't rush me!
We're being pushed back!
There's too many of them!
Time for some backup.
Joe aimed the gun at the gate of the Malta enclosure, blasting it open. The Maltas rushed through the blasted gate and charged into the battle. Deacon was pulling open the cockpit to her ship, getting in. Mallory showed up behind her.
Deacon!
I know! I'm on my way! I hope he's taking care of those missiles, or this is gonna be a short ride.
On the battlements, the machine gun was smoking and stopped firing. Three Krail were running toward Joe, led by Kursk.
The gun's overheated.
What?
The three Krail grabbed Joe and he struggled desperately. Gurnu was still focused on the missile control.
Gurnu! Run!
Joe watched helplessly as Kursk came up behind Gurnu and impaled her on his battle staff, lifting her off the ground.
No!
As the Krail held Joe, Deacon's ship was suddenly taking off. It lifted off from the courtyard in a plume of dust and condensation and flew over the battlements.
Go! Go, baby, go!
The battle on the ground continued with only a few faces looking upward to watch Deacon's ship as it raced skyward. Kursk quickly moved to the missile controls, his Krail claw gripping a lever. Joe, still held by the guards, stared helplessly.
No!
Kursk pulled the lever downward, and behind him, the missile launched. Joe looked up at the contrail of the missile as it headed straight toward Deacon's ship in the distance.
God, no!
Deacon's ship exploded as the missile hit it. Fragments of the ship flew in every direction. Still being held by the guards, Joe bowed his head in defeat as flaming debris rained downward from the heavens.
And that's it.
Confidential log of General William Lansing. I have ordered the 6th Fleet into the hypertunnel. We will investigate a highly unusual report from my Special Adjutant Felix Kino. The Bulwark Corporation would have scuttled this mission. Their continued interference only makes me more suspicious. I have to know.
Lansing gazed down at a screen from his command position. A planet was projected there with lines of text, data, reports.
Pondafire. Just a name on a list of losses to the Krail. Small colony, minor military outpost. Compared to our other losses, meaningless when it happened. And I was preoccupied at the time. With family concerns.
Preoccupied. The general held one of the medals on his chest, looking down at it.
I have to know if I was wrong, or if it's too late. I'm risking my career on the answer.
Reaching the end of the hypertunnel, General. Destination ahead.
Sensors and weapons, full alert. We're coming in hot. The Krail won't be expecting us, but keep an eye out. Contact my scout the moment we drop into normal space.
The swirling hypertunnel opened, looking like the eye of a hurricane. The UEC recon fleet emerged, an impressive number of ships. Felix's ship was already on station.
You arrived just in time, General. All hell is breaking loose down on the planet. Something big is happening down there.
Bring Mr. Kino's ship on board with all possible speed.
General, enemy vessels coming in.
Take them out. Those are sentries. There'll be more.
Down on the planet, Stalag X was in total chaos, the riot still in progress. POWs fighting, Krail guards fighting back. A hulking Krayl guard with a large gun blasted away at unarmed human prisoners, mowing them down. Four desperate humans piled on top of the Krayl guard, taking him down, ripping away his weapon, clubbing and stabbing him with their primitive weapons. Joe was still being held by the guards, staring up at the dissipating explosion of Deacon's ship in the sky. There was fighting all around him, but in this moment at least, he was separate from it all.
So much for getting the word out. We're on our own.
With a hardened, predatory look on his face, Joe became a wild man, an animal, suddenly spinning to the guard next to him, grabbing the guard's knife and bringing it up towards the other Krayl, slashing his throat.
Nothing to lose now!
The Krayl fell as Joe spun to face his other guard, the knife in his hand ready to attack, but the guard already had his weapon up and aimed at Joe.
Come on, you bastard, do me a favor!
Suddenly, the Malta commander attacked, ripping out the throat of the Krayl from behind. The Malta stood over the dead Krayl, his claw still bloody, facing off with Joe.
Thanks.
The Malta ran off to continue the fight.
I'll take allies wherever they come.
The mayhem continued as the Maltas swarmed into the fight, hitting a line of battling Krayl. The Krayl commandant in full impressive uniform charged across the compound, surrounded by his elite guards, including Kursk.
Enough nonsense! These humans are more trouble than they're worth! This cop is more trouble than it is worth!
Joe reached a barricade and was trying to pull a large gun from the dead claws of a Krayl casualty.
Come to daddy, give me the nice gun.
You!
Joe turned and faced the towering commandant.
I would not have guessed that you were their leader, Joe Human. I will cut off the head of the dragon to kill the beast. No leader, no resistance. The Dark Ripper has touched you. Let us see how successful Mengele's experiment was!
Yeah, let's!
The commandant swung his weapon down at Joe, but Joe sidestepped, grabbing up a Krayl spear from the ground. Joe shoved the spear at the commandant's side, but the commandant brought his weapon around, blocking the spear. Joe spun around, jamming the blunt end of the spear into the commandant's midsection. Joe pushed into the commandant as the commandant grabbed at Joe's neck. Nearby, Kursk was watching as Joe and the Commandant continued to hammer each other. His own jagged, bloodied Krayl spear drawn and aimed, Kursk ran toward Joe. Joe was focused on the Commandant and did not see Kursk. Suddenly, Deacon appeared, looking wounded and really pissed. She leaped onto Kursk's shoulders from behind, raising a huge alien sword. Her legs wrapped around Kursk's shoulders, Deacon jammed the weapon down and sideways through his collarbone and into his heart.
What? I thought you—
Don't talk to me! Kill him!
The Commandant grabbed Joe by his neck, lifting him up off the ground.
Kill me! This human is already dead!
Joe slammed his fist into the Commandant's head.
Not yet, you bastard!
From the barracks barricade, the POWs watched in wonder. Dak and Gren in front, staring.
Well, damn.
The Commandant held Joe close to his face as Joe struggled to free himself. Then, Joe noticed something out of the corner of his eye. It was the Malta talon dangling from a chain around the Commandant's neck. Joe grabbed the talon and raised it high like a dagger, the broken chain loose and dangling.
Well, how about some respect, you bastard?
With all of his might, Joe jammed the talon into the Commandant's eye. The Commandant's claws clutched at empty air, blood splashing from the eye socket. And then he fell over, dead. Joe stood over the dead body of the Commandant, the talon still clutched in his hand as the POW stared in disbelief.
Holy mother of—
All right, let's get him!
Come on, let's take back this camp!
The soldiers attacked with renewed vigor. Joe looked over at Deacon.
Nice job, cowboy. That's how you earn it.
I thought you were dead.
Thank Mallory. The jerk blindsided me, knocked me out, and stole my ship. Sucks to be him.
At that moment, the camp erupted in explosions, scrambling the fighters. Rooster tails of fire and debris blasted everywhere from an aerial bombardment. Joe helped Deacon to her feet.
Now what?
Your guess is as good as mine. The cavalry, I hope.
The UEC invasion force filled the sky outside the Stalag. Shuttles and troop transports had already landed, their cargo ramps down, and soldiers in full gear ran down the ramps. Standing in the center of one of the ramps was General Lansing, grimly watching his men move out.
Skirmish line, formation. Head toward the main entrance. Sappers, I want holes in those walls. Now, move it, move it, move it!
Yes, sir. Form up!
Standing just behind Lansing was Felix.
We've sent a force to the mining town, but they're encountering stiff resistance from the Krail.
Noted. If we had the time.
In the plains in front of the Stalag, the tick-like creatures were jumping out of the sand, attacking the troops.
We got biologics coming at us!
Blast them! Get to the wall!
They fired in response, blasting the creatures.
Drop a Spec Forces team into the camp, now!
That's risky, sir.
Do it, now!
The troops attacked in mass, and some Krail fired back from the walls. Two smaller attack craft rushed toward the Stalag, firing at the walls, soldiers in the open side doors firing as well. The two ships flew into the camp and hovered, blasting at the Krail.
Those are our guys! All right! Waste those creeps!
Joe and Deacon were hidden in the shadows between two barracks buildings.
You better get on one of those ships.
Where are you going?
I've got something to do.
Linda.
I owe her.
Joe ran toward Mengele's lab, and Deacon watched him go.
You're a damn mystery, Joe Human.
Joe charged into Mengele's lab, looking from side to side.
Linda!
Linda was hunched over the sealed tank that held her preserved daughter. She looked up at Joe.
I know why you're here. I won't go. I can't. I won't leave my daughter.
Joe grabbed Linda and tried to drag her away from the tank, but Linda clutched it.
You've got to go now. This is your only chance. Once the Earth forces leave, they're not coming back.
Mengele suddenly appeared in the doorway, looking ominous.
You're not leaving, Linda Ta. Or you. Joe Human.
Joe faced Mengele, protectively in front of Linda.
You've lost, you sadistic bastard. Let her go.
She is mine. Ask her.
I can't go. He's the only one who can save Debbie.
Maka suddenly appeared from an adjoining door, a large scalpel in his hand, and he attacked Joe.
Maka! No!
Maka didn't listen. He slammed into Joe, pushing him back into Debbie's holding tank. Joe grabbed Maka's wrist, holding the deadly blade at bay.
Stop!
Joe hit Maka in the face as Linda tried to pull him away from the tank.
Maka!
Maka lunged with the scalpel, missing Joe, and instead, driving the blade into Linda's midsection.
No!
Linda was in shock, holding her side as the blood seeped to the floor.
My... God!
Linda collapsed into Joe's arms. Mengele grabbed Maka by the throat, furious anger in his eyes.
Not Linda Ta.
Mengele ripped out Maka's throat.
Not Linda Ta.
Save my daughter.
Joe turned to look at Mengele, intense anger in his eyes. As Mengele hunched over the dead and bloody Maka, Joe grabbed a large specimen jar and smashed it on Mengele's head. Mengele and Joe struggled. Linda laid on her side, holding her wound with one hand, reaching toward the holding tank with the other. Joe picked up Maka's scalpel and held it over Mengele like a dagger. Mengele held his claw up in defense.
No! Wait! You can still save Linda Ta.
Keep talking.
Same preservation tank as little girl. Put her in tank.
And condemn her to the Ripper world?
Or she dies. Your choice. Please. Save her.
Joe punched Mengele full strength. Mengele's head snapped to the side with the impact. Joe crouched to the floor, putting his arms around Linda to lift her.
No idea if this'll work. Come on.
Where?
Joe opened the sealed preservation chamber, holding up Linda. Debbie was lying inside, floating in the plasma.
Say hi to Debbie for me.
Joe slid Linda inside the tank and closed the hatch. He then rested his hand against the closed tank.
I swear I'll come back.
Joe turned his attention to Mengele, pulling him to his feet, his hands at his throat.
Where is the Dark Ripper?
What?
That Ripper. The one that controls the others.
Controls the others? No, human. He controls you. You have seen him. You have touched him. You are infected by him. You can feel him, and he feels you. How long do you think you can resist him? And when he takes you, all humans around you will be his.
Bastard!
Joe slammed into Mengele, driving him backward into the big wall of Ripper tanks. Tanks smashed all over the place, the Rippers falling out.
No. It can't be. I can't go back. If I can't keep it under control, I'll infect them all.
Joe ran out of the lab through the explosions. Behind him, Mengele was lying among the debris of the fallen Ripper tanks. Rippers were all over him, a dozen of them attaching themselves to his body. Out in the camp, Earth soldiers were laying down covering fire in front of the blasted open doors. One soldier was waving toward the prisoners.
Come on! Now! Anyone who wants off this route, get to the transports!
Almost all the humans were gone from the Stalag courtyard. The line of Maltas stood to one side, clubs and spears in their hands, facing a line of human soldiers.
General Lansing, we have a situation here. What do we do with these things?
What do you think, Felix?
Leave them here and the Krayl will kill them.
Let them on our ships and they might kill us. They don't look very peaceful.
Do we?
I don't know what they are, but they are the enemy of our enemy.
The human soldiers formed a path for the Malta, and the Malta moved toward the transports. Felix had his hand on his headset, listening.
General, long-range scans show a full Krayl battle fleet inbound, twice the size of our fleet.
Have our forces taken the mining town?
No, sir. They need more time.
We don't have it. Damn. I can't risk the fleet. Pull them out. Let's get these creatures on board.
The Malta commander was in the line of Maltas, but stopped about 10 feet away from Lansing.
Yes, sir. We'd better get...
Wait. That one looks different.
The Malta commander stepped closer, narrowing his eyes, staring at Lansing. Felix looked on, with one hand lightly on his sidearm.
Sir?
I think he's the leader. Wait.
The Malta commander was almost face to face with Lansing, staring at his features, into his eyes.
It's like he recognizes you.
Still staring at Lansing's face, the Malta commander pointed his outstretched arm back into the Stalag.
What's he trying to tell us?
I don't know. But we don't have time to find out. Get everyone on board. Make sure we get our dead. I don't want to leave anything for these Krayl bastards.
The last of the troops and prisoners were being loaded onto 3 transports. In the gates, Lansing stood alone, facing in with a last look at the destroyed Stalag interior. Joe was hiding in the shadows next to Mengele's lab, watching as General Lansing turned and headed out of the Stalag gate.
Yeah. Yeah, go.
Deacon, still with the effects of her wounds, moved up beside him.
Are you kidding? Why aren't you on board?
Why aren't you?
Hired assassins aren't that welcome with Earth Command.
Neither are cowards.
You're no coward. I figured that out a long time ago. What's your excuse?
They stood in the gates, watching in the distance. 2 of the ships took off. Other ships were being hurriedly loaded.
It doesn't matter. I'd never make it back. How many of you are there, looking to kill me?
Good point. If Bulwark wants you dead, you're dead. The question is, why do they want you dead? Why the hell are you so important?
Joe sat on the ground, leaning against the gate. Deacon sat opposite him.
There was a defeat on Retta 5.
Defeat? That's a hell of an understatement. That was a massacre. The only survivor was the platoon commander. He only lived because he ran. You?
That was the official report. But I didn't run. Our weapons failed. Right when we had the Krayl where we wanted them, they just failed. Bulwark's weapons.
Shit happens.
Yeah. And sometimes people design shit to happen. Those weapons failed and my men died. Suddenly all the fingers are pointed at me. And a lot of money is put into killing me. What do you think? My father couldn't do anything. He follows the rules. There was a quick court-martial, and I was put away in a military prison where I had to fight just to survive.
I knew you picked up your fighting skills somewhere. But wait a minute, what does your father have to do with this?
My father is General Lansing.
Damn. This just gets better and better, doesn't it?
For some reason, they decided I needed another trial. I was being transported back to Earth when the Krayl attacked the prison ship. Maybe it was my dad's idea. Maybe Bulwark wanted me out there where the assassins could get to me. Doesn't matter now.
Deacon stood.
Let's get out of here. We can hide out near that Malta wreck. If I can get it running, we can get off this rock. Grab some weapons.
No, you go. I have to stay.
Deacon picked up a Krayl weapon.
Stay? I don't know if you've figured it out, but the Krayl aren't going to leave this place. They'll be back.
I know.
Is this about that woman? Mangala's woman?
Not completely. I know why this place exists, and I know how important it is to their plans. I can't leave until I find it. That Dark Ripper.
Joe and Deacon looked up and saw the contrails of Krayl ships in the sky.
And here they come, right on time. You sure you want to do this?
Go.
I don't need to be told twice.
Hey. Good luck.
Joe turned back toward the Stalag as Deacon ran for the tree line in the distance. And then Joe was alone in the wrecked battlefield of the camp. Some of the barracks, as well as the Krayl headquarters building, were still smoking. Outside the Stalag, a large Krayl command craft landed. Joe stood facing the gates as the shapes of Krayl could be seen approaching.
Time for the second show.
Walking through the gate was a towering, powerful Krayl commandant. A female commandant in full Krayl armor, who looked twice as tough as the former commandant. Krayl soldiers stood around her, facing Joe.
One survivor! A human! Your people left you for us? A gift? Or a trap?
Maybe I just like it here. I figure you're gonna need someone to work with when you reopen the camp.
True. I am here to retake this prison. We will continue its purpose. But I want no reminders of this failure. Such as you. Kill him.
The guards raised their weapons, preparing to gun down Joe. He raised his hands, but there was nowhere to go.
Stop! Do not harm the human.
A battered, bedraggled-looking Mangala stumbled toward them from his lab. In his hands, he clutched two dead rippers.
He is mine. I am still presiding medical officer of this prison. This is important to my study, to our victory. I will open you up, Joe Human. I will rip out your soul. I will find out what makes you human.
A strange, haughty smile spread across Joe's face.
I was hoping you would.
From a distance at the edge of the jungle, Deacon watched as the Krayl crowded around a defiant Joe and then marched him into what remained of Stalag X. Stalag X by Kevin J. Anderson, Stephen L. Sears, and Mike Ritera is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2018, Kevin J. Anderson, Stephen L. Sears, and Mike Ritera. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author and Vault Comics. Production copyright 2021, Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Steve Wernall. With performances by Stephen Carpenter as Joe, Wynn Delano as Mallory, Nora Ashradi as Deacon, Matthew Pauly as Mangala. Also with Rob McFadgen, Zeke Alton, Laura C. Harris, Stefan Walker, Kay Alluvian, Danny Gavigan, Richard Rowan, Karen Novak, Marnie Penning, Scott McCormick, Darius Johnson, Eric Messner, Alejandro Ruiz, Terrence Azelford, Yasmin Toison, and Chris Davenport. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Steve Wernall. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Abby Rose Rates. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producer Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Stalag X, you may also enjoy Down Below Station by CJ Cherry or Wasted Space by Michael Morisi and Hayden Sherman. These titles and many more are available in graphic audio. Keep listening for a preview of another exciting title in graphic audio.
Tell me again, how were you made, Vision?
Having conceived the earth, the air, and sky, the All-Seer slept, and from his sigh the first of my kind were born. Such hunger we had at birth that we devoured everything in sight, until we had begun to consume the All-Seer himself. swarmed by his own children, he cried for help. And were it not for those who answered his call, we might have eaten God himself. We were sent in penance to this place, to live among its mortal creatures.
What sort of thing have I fallen for?
Graphic Audio and Vault Comics present These Savage Shores by Ram V and Sumit Kumar. In the year 1766, an insatiable vampire sailed from London to Calicutta aboard an East India Company ship.
A word to the wise, Mr. Pierrefonte. These are untamed lands you've come to. They've no use for lords or nobles here.
The East India Company sought to secure its future along the lucrative Silk Route.
We are here to trade, Mr. Pierrefonte. This you already know. But what if I told you I'm here for something far more valuable than silk or spices or tea? I am here to trade for the future, Mr. Pierrefonte.
The vampire, Alain Pierrefonte, hoped to make a new home and hunt along the Indus, not realizing that the hunter that pursued him was relentless.
I know what hunts you. Vampire.
You know how to fight them?
I know how to kill them.
The vampire soon found that the ground along the Indus is an ancient one, with demons and legends far older and far more powerful than themselves.
What are you?
In this place, the days are scorched and long, and the nights are full of teeth.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.